We have our recorder ready to start. The May meeting of the Police Complaints Board. Our practice is to have a public comment period for any members of the public who wish to make a statement, but I see none in attendance. So we will proceed to the approval of the minutes of the March meeting, which the members of the board were sent by email in advance of this meeting and hopefully had a chance to review prior to the meeting. And unless anyone needs time to review them now or has some changes or corrections to the minutes, is there a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
I move to adopt the minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed nay. And the minutes are received. Mike, if you would give us the agency report.
Yes, sir. I will. Thank you. I want to call the board's attention to the fact that we have a pending vacancy, which is your position. We have Paul, I don't know if you have an update on your status, but Paul's position is pending reappointment, is that correct?
That is correct. Last I heard, it's before the committee.
Oh, so the mayor sent it over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Was that recently?
It was last week, I think.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Great.
Progress.
That's very good. We have a new board member here tonight, Jean Aaron Burley. And we are likely to lose a board member shortly, Pat Burke, who's being appointed as the U.S. Attorney for the
U.S. Marshal.
U.S. Marshal, I'm sorry, for the D.C. And I haven't talked to him in the last week or so to see what the status is of that. The NEAR Act, which is the main legislation affecting the Office of Police Complaints, is working its way through the Congress now. It's on its consent agenda, and we hope to have that approved by sometime in September. We are working internally with an OPC and developing the necessary protocols and changes that we have to put into effect to make the act happen when it does happen, which would be the end of September or may probably the beginning of the next fiscal year, fiscal year 17. There was a new legislation passed, introduced rather, to the council in the last couple of weeks regarding search warrants. Some legislation that we had not been aware of until it was introduced. It involves the Office of Police Complaints to the extent that our office would be required to review certain search warrants executed by MPD and make a determination of whether they were lawfully executed or not, and if there was damage done in the execution of those warrants, whether the homeowner would be entitled to receive damages and how much those damages would be. That was referred to the full council. I have not seen that it's been referred to a committee yet, and I have not received any updates since that first introduction, but I'll keep everyone posted as that moves forward, if it moves forward. And that's the main legislative updates. The next thing I want to call the board's attention to is the mid-year report. We did distribute that to everybody on the board. Canceled forms. It's a six-month report highlighting some of our statistics, and more will be talking about those in a minute. As far as outreach, we have, I wanted to mention too, as part of outreach, one of our main participants in a lot of our outreach events over the last month or so has been Lindsay Murphy, because she is our new investigator. Lindsay, raise your hand. Thank you. This is her first board meeting, so I wanted to introduce her, and I wanted to introduce her at the end of the table. Christine, how do you pronounce your last name again?
Kulamani.
Kulamani is our law school, third-year law school intern, and she's trying to straighten out Catherine's investigations right now.
Mike, I don't want to interrupt your report, but I should have done this earlier. We have not only our new board member, but our new deputy here, and who probably, these are all new people to them, so maybe we should, if you don't mind, just go around the room and we can introduce themselves.
Rochelle Howard, Deputy Director.
Mona Andrews, Chief Investigator.
Anthony Lawrence, Senior Investigator.
Lindsay Murphy, Investigator.
Christine Fulmani, Law Clerk.
Nicole Billet, Program Analyst.
Catherine Twigg, Investigator.
Paul Ashton, Board Member.
Bobby Strang, Board Member.
Mayor Merley, Board Member.
And I'm Kurt Vonnegut, Board Member. So I apologize for doing that at the beginning of the meeting. I should have. But, it's good for all of us that we know who else is there. Sorry, Mike.
I'm working my way down the table. And there will be a test at the end to remember all those names. Another outreach event that I wanted to call your attention to was the LAPD Inspector General's Office. They were here last week, was it, I believe?
Yes.
And they were looking at MPD's operations with respect to use of force and our operation with respect to reviewing use of force incidents. And they're going to be publishing a report. They were tasked with looking at four agencies that are presumably handling use of force following some of the best practices in the country. So Washington was one of the agencies that was selected to be reviewed, and they were looking forward to that report that they published. It's a comparison report to try to gain more insight into what are the best practices on monitoring use of force in oversight agencies and police departments. We also had a visit from Keisha Brown, who is the director of the agency, the police oversight agency in Baltimore. We've had contact with her over the past year or so since the incident in Baltimore, and she came down here to look at our operation. It's a very newly constructed agency. It's very small at this time. She has a very small staff of 3 or 4 people, but she's researching other agencies and looking at best practices and police oversight to try to put something together there, and I would suspect something will get put together there in conjunction with the consent decree and the DOG investigation when that gets eventually published, and we will be helping them with that. Staffing update, I already did.
Just as a total aside,
sure.
Is everybody in contact from Chicago and us there? I'll say situation.
Chicago contacted us, and I was.
We lose our advice.
Well, the Mayor Rahm Emanuel of Chicago appointed a working group of community members and experts, police experts, oversight experts, community leaders, to make a recommendation to the mayor's office in Chicago about what should happen with KIPRA, the oversight agency in Chicago. I was placed on that as part of the working group. I was one of the advisors. They were contacted me. I met with them. And last, about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, they did publish a report. It's a very lengthy report. I can send it to anyone that wants it. On the recommendations on how to reconstruct the Chicago Oversight Agency and some of the reconstruction that is going to happen if the process goes through as proposed is going to be, when you see it, it will be remarkably similar to what we do here for some reason that we already know, because we are the best practice agency. And since you brought that up, last week, Boston also had it. Boston does not have any nominal civilian oversight agency right now. They have a board and no full-time staff, and the board is tasked with reviewing use of force incidents. That board was established in 2007 in Boston. Since 2007, that bill board has reviewed a grand total of 0 use of force cases.
How are you so overworked?
So the current mayor of Boston has put together a working group to make recommendations on what they should do in Boston. Last week, or beginning of this week rather, that working group came out with recommendations on how to put together a civilian oversight group. The recommendation was to form an outside investigative agency with an executive director, a deputy director, an investigative team, and a public relations person, and a civilian board. Remarkably similar to something we already know about. So that is in the process of working its way through the legislative process in Boston too. There's a lot of activity right now in civilian oversight, and some days it's actually hard to keep up with because there is so much going on. It's really, we're at the tip of the spear right now on every unit of forms. Thanks for reminding me of that. As far as training, I think the most significant thing on training right now is to mention that all of the investigators are going through the annual in-service, the PDT training with MPD, their three-day training. Catherine, you're in that right now this week, right? You just finished the third day?
Yes.
Today? And you still came to the office after that?
I'm tired.
How was the training?
Good. Very informative.
So we had some two or three investigators to integrate right with the regular police department, the police officers that are going through the training. And they go through pretty much everything that the officers go through and get to network with the officers in that program and actually do some of the training, that scenario-based training. And I'm sure, yes. Did you participate in ASP, the backup training, too?
No. We helped them and saw how they worked. We did more in the tactical village.
Oh, okay, good. All right. So that was always very significant training. And that shows, too, that the police department is cooperating with us. They're working with us. We're participating in training with them. Bonus to goes to every recruit class. We talk to every class about what we do and what they need to know about us. So there's still pretty good communication going on with, as far as our relationship with the police department. And next I'll move on to the statistics and ask Mona to give the board an update on the latest statistics.
And if I could really quick, just as a reminder about the dismissal schedule, I did take Chief Burke off because, so that's, you know, just, it was on purpose.
If any board members, if you would look at this for your summer vacations, and if you create any problems for you or for the office, if you'd like Mona to know as far as in advance as possible.
Mm-hmm. And I can certainly switch it around and send an updated version of just that one if there's a lot of changes. Okay. So I think one of the things that regarding statistics is that you might notice is the decisions. I mean, that's something that we talked about. That means the complaint examinations. Those are cases that have gone to complaint examinators. And I think all but one so far this year have been sustained. So that's good as well. But we did have kind of a, you know, backlog that we got through, and then the rest of that has really gotten through this fiscal year. So a few of those are linked cases, but still, I still think there's like, I think 18 decisions. And this is data is a week old. Even since then, I think we've gotten in a couple more. So that's something that I think is kind of the biggest differential percentage-wise, obviously, from last year. I think at the end of last year, I think we had 11 decisions, and so this year we're going to have probably mid-20s, maybe even close to 30. So that's going to be the biggest difference that we really see. And other numbers, as you can see, that just because we've caught up, we're kind of leveling out, so we won't see the big changes that we have over the last year or so. But the stat is a week old, but even the complaints received, I think I checked this morning, and it's over 250, so we've gotten a lot in the last week. But other than that, I don't know if there's any questions or any other significant changes. Other things are moving, but I just wanted to point out with the decisions, that's something that is kind of really show up with the percentage increase on the exam decisions. And of course, I think you all know that you can go on our website and read any plan examiner decisions that you want, including these. They get posted usually within a few weeks, the decision being finalized. And so if you're curious about any of that, because those are the things you don't see. I mean, you guys do see the dismissals that are kind of associated with them, and then you'll see, you know, a footnote about the allegations that are going to be going to a complaint examinator, but you don't always see kind of the rest of that case. So especially in cases that you've read the dismissal, if you're interested, you know, that's where you can go and kind of see the other side of it as far as the decisions go. So I just wanted to point that out. that up. Is there any other?
And, those are posted. McCall posts those, or make sure they get posted. A couple days with NBC after the finalized.
And there's some really good, decisions, and it's interesting. You know, like for those of you who were here at the last meeting, Chief Burton was last meeting, asked me about kind of trends and stuff, and we really do see kind of that's where we kind of can really see the. Some trends and some, especially the misconduct trends, you know, we're seeing a lot of, you know, bad searches, some bad arrests, bad stop and frisks, so being able to see those, of course, there's always the language and conduct issues, but we had even recently a few discrimination sustained allegations, and so, you know, it's just, you know, it's interesting information, and if you really look over the years, you'll see patterns a little bit, so. Helpful, but you know, since we have a larger group this time, because we have all the so many cases, so many allegations, so many decisions, it kind of is a bigger group to really look at and see if there are any trends or anything in that. And that's something that we address then later in policy recommendations. So, just wanted to bring that for any of you guys. You're of course welcome to review any of those decisions for your own curiosity.
Questions for members of the board for a moment?
Not on the data, but I do have a question to like bring it back, because you had mentioned a lot of bad searches and we talked briefly about the legislation, and so I know it's relatively new. I presume you've had a chance to look at it? The search warrant legislation?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just curious about what the potential impact, like if that legislation like went through, what it would be to the agency.
The way it's currently the original draft, it, these things change every time it's posted at another meeting. The initial language would only implicate us if there's a complaint filed.
Okay.
And if that complaint showed that there was actually physical damage to the property, then we would gain jurisdiction to investigate whether it was an unlawful search or a lawful search, and whether we would have to appeal. The number of cases that we've had in the past that would fit into that category is pretty small.
Because it's property searches, it's not, a lot of our sustain has been more car searches and person searches, and so the legislation just really affects, I think, just search warrants, so it would be property, like going into homes and stuff versus cars.
Yeah.
Now that I mentioned that, there is one question. One thing that I would like to, is this going to require you to act as an adjuster?
Yeah, that's my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Is we would make a determination of of how much money would be.
The office would.
Yes.
Yeah. So the claim adjuster,
yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to have to staff the office with a claims adjuster?
That would be an unknown at this time. That's one of the issues that's going to have to be resolved if it moves forward.
Well, is there something in committee that should be brought up? Because the claims adjusting as a skill.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's so new right now that I have not even met with the council member that proposed it yet.
Whose bill is this?
This is Grosso.
Grosso.
Yeah. So he introduced it. I haven't met with the staff to draft it or him yet. So that's in the works.
Is there any other
that's what I'm aware of anywhere.
Well, risk management. So are you talking about in the district that handles those
claims?
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
it has this type of responsibility.
We will be the only
right.
ones.
Yeah.
The process right now, as Mona was saying, is they have the opportunity to, and sometimes the police officer will notify them to go to the DC Office of Risk Management, and they have the process where they provide.
And they handle the monetary claims for destruction of property and things like that.
Yeah. The Office of Risk Management does have claims adjusters.
Yeah. But that's who currently works on those cases and makes those monetary decisions.
Yeah. And we refer people there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We refer
right
people there. Yeah.
What the bill doesn't, I don't know if Councilman Grosso knows about that process. It doesn't correlate those two entities. It doesn't mention the process that the Office of Risk Management.
Is it out of just ignorance, or does he affirmatively want us to be making an independent judgment?
Yes.
If for some reason, for a policy reason, he wants us not to do that, I can see the argument is that
that's an arm of the DC government, and citizens should have someone independent, but I would imagine we're not going to have a full-time claims adjuster here. We'd have to contract out to someone who may develop a list of adjusters who we know we have confidence in, but there may be desire that they be independent.
Right.
So one of the main questions would be, is this in some way coordinated?
Intentional or unintentional,
yeah.
Exactly.
A lot to be found out. You have a lot of questions that are unanswered right now on it. I will keep everyone posted as we go forward with it. Very good questions. I did want to bring up, too, on one of the bonus points, too, that we are in our third week now, completing our third week of people being able to file online complaints.
How's that going?
So, meaning they can directly file through the website. So, we have seen a slight uptick, but nothing that I'm concerned about at this time, a slight uptick in a number of complaints, and we're closely monitoring it to see if we need to make any adjustments. For instance, the first week we did it, most of the complaints that came through there, and I say most, I mean five or six, were from out of state that we did not have jurisdiction on. Now this week, Doug, you were
on
most of this week, right? Most of them were, we did have jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So it's either here or there. We're just going to keep watching it for a while.
So about how many complaints that we've accepted have come through in the 3 weeks?
How many would you say at 100?
Not.
Single digit?
No, maybe
20.
Yeah, 20. And probably I would say at least half of those were completely in other states or countries, right? Maybe even more than half, slightly more than half. So far.
10 actual claims.
Yeah, probably.
Over. But we haven't done any major advertising.
Right.
I don't think it's unusual to expect that people filing a complaint would go to the website, without any knowledge that there's a form there.
Mm-hmm.
If they find it, they obviously these 10 people did it. But with an advertising effort, more people may start.
We're using this as a soft form.
Because there's kind of been a few technology things too, that happens that we've kind of been trying to monitor and see, is this like a regular thing? Is this user error on there? And some things have been user errors, some have been possibly glitches, so we're kind of also dealing with that. Not a lot, though, actually.
Do we have any evidence that someone attempted to do a online complaint and for one reason or another got frustrated? If they called us and said.
They called us and said,
You
just
did have one person.
I think one or two.
Two.
Well, we had a couple people on the first week where they called us and said they weren't sure that it went through, but then we did get it.
Okay.
So we let them know that. So
it was over a weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The two had tried over the weekend. We had actually gotten them, but Okta was doing maintenance that weekend.
Okay.
So we don't know what happened, what message or error got on their end. But when we got the calls on Monday, checked in, the officer actually had received the full complaints and followed up with them to let them know.
And is the standard procedure, if you file an online complaint, you get
a
receipt or a message back?
Yeah, it says complaint has
been received.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't know if they didn't get that or something. They weren't sure.
Okay.
But they did call, the duty officer called them back, but they had a case serving process.
I'm just curious, for someone who may not know that this agency exists, if they were originally to go to the police department's website to try to find out how they would complain, is there a link?
Yes,
okay.
There's a link to our, there's information
mm-hmm.
about us, and then there's a link to
okay.
our website, and then that would push them over to our website, and then there's... And we've updated our website also for the online form, of course, and then we also have, the dedicated email address, so then even if people already have stuff and want to, link and send. And I think we mentioned that also there's a way people can, which I don't think we've gotten too much of attachments yet, but there's the attachment that people can upload video and pictures, and so they can do the multimedia, they can do documents and stuff like that. So I don't know if we're really getting too much stuff attached, but there's that option, and they can do up to 10, I think 5, documents/videos, whatever. So that's a nice, it kind of makes it a little easier too for people. So,
when we get beyond the test phase, I think we should maybe think about the NPD, so they cooperate, rather than just a link to our website, but a link there that goes directly to the complaint form. I'm guessing, and we should make sure my guess is not, is accurate, but is that people, you know, they have an incident, they think I'm going to complain, they go to the NPD website because they haven't heard of us, and if it's a two more steps, that can become, every step you eliminate, I think you capture a certain.
Well, interesting enough, even the MPDs, because they changed their form a couple years ago, and it's like their standard accommodation, or, you know, it's like kind of more standardized form, and you can download it, but you can't actually submit their form electronically, which is interesting.
Well, that may
but you know what I mean, so that they can't, like, you can, kind of like ours was, where you can download it and stuff, but you can't, like, submit it electronically. So they already have an extra step, is kind of what I see on their side. But, yeah, I mean, that is something, I mean, I guess we have to coordinate with them as far as, you know, the link, or maybe even a separate link, like a link to their website, and then another, you know, you can place your, you know.
I'm just assuming those going to the MPD website are not going there to find out the statutory basis of these complaints or the fantastic bios of the board members and things like that. They're going there to file a complaint.
Right.
Getting to where they want to go quickly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some of this will change when the New York jurisdiction goes in place.
Because there'll have to be all the updates then for all the.
You won't have to worry about where it's going, because it will have to come to us either way. So, you know, that transition with our online complaint form may work best with the transition in the New York jurisdiction. So.
Other questions?
A lot of changes coming up. One is, did that complete your part of the report?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Just want to make sure. That completes the agency report then. Do we want to remind the chair that we should set the next two meetings?
Okay. It has been our practice not to meet in the summer, and my recommendation to the board is that we continue with our historic practice, but if there's a motion to override the chair, of course we go to a majority vote, and whatever happens, happens. So if you're desperate for a summer meeting, now is your chance. I'm not hearing any. All right, so our next two scheduled meetings, our next meeting will be September 15th, and then the following meeting after that will be November 17th. So hopefully that works for everyone.
Very good. It's the agency report. I do not think it's necessary to go into executive session. I put an executive session item on there, but I don't have any information to report on it.
Is there any new business from any member of the board? Jamira, was this not so bad after your first
it's
meeting?
Totally fine.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so moved.
So moved. Is there a second?
I second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The board stands in adjourn. Thank you to the staff for staying late. Thank you.